Chapter 5. Mission Time. 6142.25 Tango Zulu. Southeast Structure, Dome Red. Oka Firebase Med Lab. With Mu's help and the rapid assistance of several Firebase Garrison civilian personnel, the captain had been half-walked, half-carried to Oka's version of sickbay. It wasn't Argent caliber, but it was definitely superior to treating wounded only a few yards from the scene of a recently concluded firefight that might erupt into round two at any moment. The facility was relatively well-equipped, even though it had only minimal capacity for anything more advanced than closing wounds, administering medication, or setting broken bones. There were only two treatment tables, but after all, it was a facility only meant to serve about 100 people. What worried Honora most was the fact the captain was right on the edge of requiring the services of a first-rate trauma center, and the closest one was about 2 million clicks overhead aboard his ship. The key issue at Oka was sudden evidence of hostile forces on the planet's surface. The Mycenae-Seti system had long been a less than peaceful place due to its proximity to the Gyalfos frontier. Both human and Proximan governments had coveted the system for some time, even though they knew the lengths to which dragonkind would go to prevent alliance settlements and bases only one star from their homeworlds. M-Seti was relatively unique among quiet primaries. The system had 8 planets, only one of which was a true giant, and even it wasn't as large as similar planets elsewhere. The Empire had manufacturing, resource extraction, and survey facilities on all but one of the system's worlds. The Alliance had semi-permanent bases on 2. The goal with Oka was to create a quiet monitoring outpost. The Marines were more than capable of establishing a low profile and delivering the vantage point Skywatch wanted. But the problem wasn't the Empire. It was the alien forces Mu and Hunter had just gone around with. They weren't supposed to be there. Hunter and his crew were dispatched to be the first line of reinforcements, but by the time Argent's XO realized the process of getting personnel from flight deck to dirt wasn't as straightforward as they had first imagined, the captain's party was stuck, and his ship was faced with an interlocking series of puzzles to solve before they could render assistance. O'Malley's first instinct was to make use of the transmatter system, but there were 2 vital considerations that made him hesitate. Argent's officers had agreed frequent use of their secret weapons wouldn't be a very good idea this close to Imperial space. Second, there was no telling how M-Seti-6's contaminated atmosphere would affect the device. Without testing, it could put lives at risk. Meanwhile, Honora didn't waste any time wishing for better circumstances. She recruited 2 members of the astrometrics team to serve as ad hoc nurses and the only medic they could find as a temporary second. By now, the captain's vitals were starting to fluctuate. Whatever had hit him was doing a number on his circulation and blood pressure. There was a large and gradually expanding area of cell death near his elbow. The muscles in his hand were beginning to show signs of ischemia. The challenge for the doctor was to restore proper internal temperature and blood flow without causing additional internal hemorrhages or any permanent nerve damage. Fortunately for Hunter, his medical officer had her kit with her on the surface, so she was able to perform rather advanced treatment of both the external and internal damage, despite the relative dearth of equipment in the Oka Med Lab. It wasn't lost on the doctor she and the ship's chief engineer had just left a cryogenics facility that had technology at least 3 generations ahead of everything around her. Then again, the last thing Jason Hunter needed at the moment was more cold. As the ranking Marine Ground Forces officer on the surface of MCD-6, Lieutenant Colonel Lucas Moody's data link automatically connected his comlink and Atmos to the Oka Firebase's security monitor. The unique safety hazards surrounding this particular ground installation were such that any breach of the base perimeter, whether it be structure failure or deactivation or malfunction of the containment screens, would trigger a priority alarm at all alert conditions. The colonel's ATMAS lit up exactly as it was designed. It not only indicated a structural failure in the northwest section, it was also showing sensor readings of alien life forms, both inside and outside Dome Blue. None were moving. At the same time, the life form that was moving registered as humanoid. Mu stepped away from the examination table where Captain Hunter was being treated for the frost weapon injury to his hand and arm and quickly scanned additional readings. He recognized the life telemetry right away, since it was unique to one member of Argent's crew who just happened to be part Jash. Mu activated his comlink. Mu to Tixia, come in. He waited the regulation 10 seconds for a response. The avatar representing the humanoid life form exited Dome Blue and moved into the exterior grounds of the base along the northwest perimeter. Mu to Tixia, respond. Nothing. We've got a problem, Doctor. I'll be near the northwest gate wall. Anora nodded without looking up from the instrument she was using to restore the captain's near-frozen skin. One of the advantages of a surface base was having at least one quasi-permanent medical facility, even though forward bases generally made do with fleet medics and field corpsmen instead of medical officers. Having a surgeon around was definitely unusual, but at the same time rather welcome, at least as far as the captain was concerned. The colonel jogged towards the site of the showdown with the assault squad that had breached the gate wall. He could only describe what he had seen as giant creatures made of stone and ice. Zoni Tixia wasn't given to sudden departures from procedure. There had to be a good reason she was wandering around outside the base defenses alone with hostiles in the area. There was a better than average chance she was in rather acute danger. Mu accelerated to a run. The first things the Argent Signals officer saw when she emerged from the destroyed gatewall core were the apparently unconscious forms of the 5 attacking shotgunners that had been thrown clear of the airlock when the Rollins Rock crashed through the breach and exited the dome. The path the enormous war machine had followed was rather obvious. Zoni considered for a moment the fact the rock wasn't following any kind of search pattern. It was as if it knew exactly where it was going. The commander scrambled up a snowy hill and ran as fast as was safe to follow the flattened rocks, dirt, and ice chunks. She was moving northeast towards the firebase's heavy-duty vehicle yard. Visibility was poor, largely due to the fact it was long after sunset. There were cold lights visible along the northern edge of the machine shop, roughly 100 yards east of the gate wall damage. Zoni wasn't entirely sure why the attackers had no backup, but she certainly wasn't displeased with the fact she wasn't being shot at while she searched for the rock. At a distance of perhaps 70 yards from the damaged wall, she lost the rock's trail. She was only a short distance from the depot fence when she noticed a strange set of signals being picked up by her ATMAS. The partial data link she had established with the first arsenal weapon was feeding her what looked like real-time location data, but it wasn't a conventional signal. She followed the transmissions back towards the machine shop and stopped cold when she saw a man emerge from the darkness. He was wearing a simple portable exosuit, but it wasn't fleet issue. In fact, it didn't look like anything the Alliance manufactured at all. The inside of his helmet was illuminated well enough to see the man's expression. It was anything but friendly. He grinned, which caused Zoni to react instinctively. She dropped her handheld and drew her TK-14. Identify yourself. You don't have a high enough security clearance, Commander. Zoni barely suppressed the urge to fire. You're going to turn and lead the way back to the gate wall. Nice and slow, Zoni said. Her voice was low and quite a bit more menacing than normal. The Argent officer recognized too late the man had some kind of control mechanism in his gloved hand. A sharp burst of destructive EM energy surrounded Zoni for just an instant, but long enough to disrupt her exosuit's equilibrium assist. The wind shoved her forward. She fought to maintain balance, but the extra weight of the suit combined with the sudden stumble sent her sprawling face down in the snow. Moments later, the suit systems recovered. Zoni was receiving a fleet-wide distress call from the Rollins Rock. Her attacker, on the other hand, was gone. The commander scrambled to her feet. She reached the south end of the vehicle depot and could finally see where the windswept and confusing trail actually led. 2 sections of the double fence had been completely wiped out. A smoking, scorched track of broken simacrete and tangled metal wiring extended another 70 yards into an icy embankment behind the utility trucks and scout cars. At least one vehicle had been flipped onto its side. The rock was wedged in the snowy slope, buried to a depth of roughly 4 feet in a trench caused by its immense weight. A voice that sounded more robotic than anything Zoni had heard so far announced something over the command net that made the commander's blood run cold. Self-destruct sequence initiated. Even Mu heard that transmission. He had just arrived in the now-deserted Dome Blue structure. He keyed his own transmitter. Emergency response. My position. I need a security detail out here immediately. Mu switched to the command net. Mu to Tixia. Respond. The channel was silent. Zoni. The Marine officer ran towards the destroyed gate wall, following the tracking information that seemed to indicate Argent's signals officer was still outside but close by. A chill shot through the colonel as he reached the emergency equipment lockers and yanked a second exosuit out of its sealed rack. His instincts were crystal clear and flashing alert condition one. He had to get to his sister in arms before something worse happened. There was no question whatever weapon the unidentified man had used, it did a lot more than just knock one officer off balance. Zoni frantically struggled with her equipment. The partial data link wasn't giving her complete access to the system she needed. It appeared the countdown was on a 60-second clock. She was trying to do too much in too short a time. Despite all her knowledge and all the magic she could work with the right tools, out here in the dark and cold with only minimal access to a system she didn't understand, Zoni Tixia was confronted by her limitations. Tears welled again. Why won't this interface connect? Why does it keep dropping the auto sequence? The only plausible theory was that the unusual energy discharge from whatever the unidentified man was carrying affected everything, not just Zoni's exosuit. Finally, she ran to the rock's side. If she couldn't do it remotely, she would deactivate the subsystem directly. She performed a magnificent hack of the war machine's systems to disable the magnetic locks on his service interlocks. The commander ripped open the main access panel with only her gloved hands. The acrid stench of burning composite and electrical fires would have been enough to knock a grown man unconscious. Zoni's exosuit was registering dangerous levels of airborne contaminants, not to mention a most unusual air temperature spike approaching 90 degrees Fahrenheit in the immediate vicinity of the rock's outer hull. Zoni's handheld torch told the story. He was not in good shape at all. Whatever he had attempted, the gigantic spherical robot had thrown all he had into some kind of massive attack. There was no doubt he was attempting to protect the base. If he had somehow hit his target, right now, whatever or whomever was buried under roughly 6 feet of frozen dirt, it would be some time before its remains would be recovered. A super heavy transport hauler would be needed to retrieve the big guy if his mobility couldn't be restored. The icy winds were now even more violent, gusting to 40 miles per hour. Zoni and her friend were surrounded by nothing but darkness and the vague shapes of unmoving structures and vehicles. Zoni's major challenge was keeping what she was working on illuminated. Her suit's externals had apparently been damaged by the EM attack. Using the handheld was clumsy and often inadequate. The commander simply couldn't see what she was working on. There were only 30 seconds left. By now, tears were streaming down Zoni's face. She couldn't wipe them away without removing her helmet. She struggled with the mechanisms and electronics inside the rock's access panel. It would take several minutes just to disassemble the primary stack of circuit boards. The command net activated. Rock do good? Zoni looked up with an expression of both surprise and dread. All she could see was a wall of metal. It was his voice, but it no longer had the certitude or presence from before. It was no longer the voice of a champion rushing to the front to defend the innocent. It was the sound of inexperience and confusion trying to understand the pain it was experiencing. Zoni tried to inhale without shuddering. Her head pounded from the adrenaline and borderline hyperoxia. Her exosuit's gas mixture was way too oxygen-rich for her racing heartbeat. Her heads-up display was displaying a warning regarding her blood alkaline levels. Rock did good. Zoni exerted every last bit of self-control to choke back tears. What else could she say? The self-destruct clock ticked inexorably towards zero. She placed her hand on the rock's cold hull. Zoni imagined the machine might explode, but she didn't care. Someone had to stay with him. Someone had to be there in the final moments. Rabbit always tell truth. The command net disconnected. Zoni dropped the light. She fell back and landed in the snow. Her arms dropped. She sat alone in the cold, staring at nothing in particular. Her 12-foot-wide fallen friend lay silent beside her. Mu arrived moments later. On the one hand, he was relieved Zoni was okay. On the other hand, he had never seen her look so alone,